Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to the start of a new week. Welcome to Optimize My Life presents Knowing Health, Nutrition, and You. So today we're going to start out and just going to continue on into our afternoon show and continue on to the show on Wednesday afternoon. And we're going to do a series about knowing who you are and why knowing who you are is so important. And we're going to talk about and what faith is. And why faith is so important. Now, when we talk about faith, a lot of people automatically go to religion, which is fine, that's great. But it doesn't have to be. All faith is believing in something more than yourself. It's really that simple. Faith is your belief or your trust in something or someone without requiring to prove it. You don't need evidence. And that's a version of what we call blind faith. It's like believing in Santa Claus as a child. It also guides you to have a sense of purpose or a direction in life. And this is part of the reason why when you say faith, people automatically go towards thinking about religions. They have a purpose-driven element. Well, the reason why faith is so important is it offers a comfort. It gives you hope. And during times of uncertainty, or having a difficult time, gives you that comfort and connection that and helps you find that meaning. And an experience, and it helps you cope with the adversities or loss or grief or anything you're struggling with. Having that faith is a positive outlook. It also helps, especially with your kids, having that faith in something. So it gives them that reassurance and that guidance. But it also gives them that positive look into the world views of what's going on around. Helps shape their values and what's important to them. Faith can be labeled as many, many different things. It's just having that belief that it's there without having to see it, touch it, or feel it. You know, some people have faith in just the general world around them. It's going to be there tomorrow. Good morning. This morning we're talking about faith and why faith is so important.
Good morning.
But it doesn't always have to be a religion. It can be. But just the importance of having a faith in something bigger than yourself to help guide you and your kids especially into making the right choices in life and give them that sense of purpose and meaning.
Good morning, Mary.
How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
Doing great.
Good.
Now, I know you're a very faith-driven person just because I know you personally, but what kind of helped you go that route or continue that? Because, you know, a lot of kids, and you know, growing up, you're taught this,
well,
you're taught something, and you kind of shiver, or not shiver, kind of go away from that when you're not into adulthood for a while because, you know, you don't have to do that anymore.
It's just a lifestyle, you know, you just follow that. I was actually, my dad was a Pentecostal, and then my mother, out of everything, became a Catholic. And so I was brought up with that faith, not really knowing, and indeed because, you know, Catholics, that's one thing, Catholics don't go deep into the Bible and everything.
Correct.
Because it was always told, you know, by us that, you know, we're not educated enough to really study the Bible other than, you know, the priests and the nuns and all of that stuff. And so it was a faith, but yet it was kind of like an, you know, outskirt, you know, in a roundabout way. I knew that, and it's always been my faith, you know, and so it was just, you know, something that really grew up with it, not knowing, you know, or hardly, you know, read the Bible or anything like that. And so, but as I was growing up older, and probably not till I was married, I've always, you know, believed the faith itself, but not as much as practicing it, you know, but just being, you know, personality and although all what I thought about my faith, you know, and until I got older when, you know, after I was married, you know, we lived in Indiana and my ex-husband came from, you know, a strong Catholic family as well. But still, you know it, I understand it, I accept it, but as far as like practicing it, it was because I was raised that way, you know, and so it took a few years where I finally kind of got deeper in it where I accepted, you know, Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and really, you know, live the way that I should be, you know, not that, you know, it was a big transformation because that was always in the back of my mind, but to understand it and to accept it and to even, it's funny, because I'm not used to talking to God until, you know, my faith got deeper. And so that just kind of took over. And everything that I do, I feel like, you know, I need to do, you know, the right thing and what I'm supposed to do. And that's how came this way. Now, you know, I talk to God, you know, a lot more because it was more, it's now more of a personal thing than compared to before, you know, where, you know, the priest is up there and, you know, you have, you know, the altar and everything, you know, kind of a separation, you know, right there. And I know, you know, that that's not good because you really don't get into it as the personal faith in it. And so I'm glad where I am now, because when things don't happen, you know, or it's hard, I understand that, you know, that there was a reason for it. And I just tell them, okay, you know, just take me where you want me to go. And you know, and that becomes your lifestyle. You know, it's something that you can really lean on, you know, compared to, you know, before, yeah, it was there. And so, you know, it's just gotten me so much closer to, you know, my God than at any time. And even things don't go right, you know, it's just, well, you know, there's something else. So that's where I am now.
You know, Diane, I'm going to steal that because I love that phrase. Faith is your lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. And that's true.
Yeah.
It really is true. You know, and I sat down last night and trying to figure out, you know, how to word it. And that is the perfect wording for it. Faith is your lifestyle. And it's how you move every day. It's what you do. It's that, you know, I always call it the Jiminy Cricket. And for the younger kids, you might not understand this, but back in the older Disney cartoons, especially like Pinocchio, you had a little cricket that was like your conscience or your voice in your head that would tell you right from wrong. And so I always refer to a Jiminy Cricket, or like with Derek when we're talking, it's the voice in your gut, not the voice in your head. It's making the decision. And oh my goodness, we have Country Boy up early this morning.
I'm up, but I ain't at him yet.
Did you hear Diane's explanation of faith and what brought her into it? It was a really good one.
Yes, I love that. And that's my prayer has always been, please, if any all this stuff that happens, please just let my faith remain. You can lose an arm, you can lose an eye, you can lose an ear, but if your faith leaves you, boy, you're in trouble.
And I know we struggle. I really did. Different parts of my life and different things happened, wavering a little bit on faith. We tend to blame our faith being bad when things go wrong. And that's really when you got to kick yourself in the butt and turn around and really lean more towards your faith. Derek, good morning this morning.
Good morning.
What does faith mean for you?
Yep. I found somebody to help us. I found somebody to help us, Mary.
Cool. Now, Derek,
give me their contact details.
Cool. Okay. Derek?
And they're in. Yeah, I'm listening. Hey, Country Boy.
Hey, good morning, Derek.
I followed you on Instagram.
Awesome, Derek.
Okay,
and
Derek.
Facebook, too.
Now, you have a strong faith. You believe, your faith is believing in God. How does that help you every day?
I want to help more people.
Exactly. Faith for you is giving you that push to want to help people to do better than what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you're always looking for new outlets and how to help them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know you struggle a lot with making big choices. We all do.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do to help you make those decisions that are best for you?
I don't know. I got to follow my gut more.
Yeah.
Derek, it's funny you used to say that, because most people, especially American lives now, we kind of got stuck in the mindset that seeing is believing. when you first early part of your faith, it says in the Bible that one must believe. But as we grew older through the years, people say seeing is believing. No, seeing is not believing. Seeing is knowing. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's easy to see what's going on in your life, and but the thing about people that are visionarians, they have to be able to see into the future, but every day have to wake up into reality, and that's the hard part. When you actually see stuff happening inside of your head, you feel it in your heart, but when you wake up to reality every day and you have to deal with what really is, that's the hard part about faith. That's where faith has to get you in at, because faith will tell you that it's not going to come immediately, that there's something going to come in between you wanting something, seeing it in your mind's eye, and actually before you receive it, there's a whole bunch of faith that you have to utilize in order for it to actually happen.
Yeah.
If you go back to your Bible and you look at John 14:23-27, Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He does not love me, does not keep my words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom Father will send my name, will teach you everything and remind you that all you have, that I told you. Peace I love with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives I do, I give to you, and not let your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." One of the many quotes in the Bible that talk about following your gut. And there's so much controversy out there about following your gut and all that great stuff. But when you follow your instincts and you follow your gut, 99% of the time, it's not going to steer you wrong. It's cultivating that intuition and having trust in your faith that's in your gut that gives you the decisions from right from wrong. Scary part about all that is when you trust in your faith, that means you're giving a little bit of that power away. And it gives you that little bit of uncertainty to make those steps, do what you need to do.
Mary, it's funny you used to say that, because one of the last things that I wrote down yesterday is, again, faith promises nothing immediately. You have to be guided step by step. But in the process of you developing that step by step faith and you getting closer and closer and closer, my thought was you're operating out of the spirit of uncertainty, but you're certain. Say that one more time. You're operating out of the spirit of uncertainty, because you're not really sure why you're going through, but you're certain that it's going to work to your favor.
And that is so true. You know, when you talked about seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing, it always reminds me of the quote from the Santa Claus movie. When Tim Allen and his son end up at the North Pole, and he's just thinking he's having delusion, and his son automatically just accepts everything because they have that blind faith. And one of the little elves explains, you know, seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. One thing I've learned through, you know, a lot through the military and dealing with, you know, uncertainty in life, my viewpoint and how I see things is a lot different the more my faith in life and things around me increased. You don't notice or dwell on the bad as much. You just have that belief that it's going to work out. You don't worry about everything, like about making all the decisions wrong or second-guessing yourself. Having that faith gives you the power and the strength to say, you know what, it's going to turn out the way it's supposed to. It's all going to work out in the end. It may not be when you want it to happen. It may not be the way you want it to happen. But it will turn out the way it should as long as you are using and doing what you need to do to make it happen. You're not just sitting by. A lot of people have this misconception with faith where they sit there and they pray about it and it's supposed to be given to them. And that's why a lot of people have this misconception about faith is that we use it as a crutch or an excuse. And faith is an aid. It's a tool to help you make those decisions. It's the tool to help you take them step forward to get that job, change that job, stand up for what you believe in, change what's not working, doing something. You don't just sit and wait for it to happen. You got to be proactive for faith.
Oh, I got one for you. Don't ask me how I came up with this just now. When we talked about seeing is believing, I bet everybody under the sound of my voice has seen a pigeon before. You know that they exist, but I guarantee you nobody under the sound of my voice has ever seen a baby pigeon.
Nope.
You ever seen a baby pigeon? You've seen a baby bird? You've seen them fall out of the nest before. But has anybody ever seen a baby pigeon?
I haven't.
I mean, we see pigeons all the time, but no one, if seeing is believing, if you're standing in the middle of the highway and you believe you hear a car coming and you stand there and you stand there and all of a sudden you believe turned into an 18-wheeler. So seeing is not believing. Seeing is knowing. But that's why we have to look inside of our mind. Derek, look inside of your gut. When you get that gut feeling, your gut has the power to make a decision for you also. And what most people don't understand is your mind is carnival. Your mind will lie to you. Your heart will never lie to you. Your heart can't see. Your heart can feel. Your stomach can feel. But see, what happens in the process is your eyes sends information to your brain. Your brain is only designed to protect you. Your brain has to fight with keeping you safe and being creative. There's a war going on between your two ears. When your eyes see things, it analyzes it and tells you, ooh, that's not safe. But at the same time, your faith has to cook in, kick in and overrule what you see or you'll never, ever move. You'll come up with a disease called procrastination because procrastination is a inner subconscious that gives you fear that makes you think that you can't do whatever the task at hand is. So we really, really have to understand, and like you say, Diana, your faith be the thing that operates you. Your faith is what moves you. Your faith will speak to you before your brain has a chance to say and get its 2 cents worth in there. But a lot of times, if you're not prayed up, sometimes we're lured into doing what our mind says versus what our heart and our stomach says, Derek.
You know,
yeah.
Go ahead, Derek. I'm sorry.
I'm just listening.
Okay. So, you know, we give our brains a lot of credit. They're our power force to keep our body running. But our brains only have one purpose, one thing. That's to keep us alive. That is it. So when you start, when your brain starts questioning what you're doing, it does that because it's uncertain of the environment and what's going to happen. It's afraid that it's not, something's going to happen. Job is to question everything in life because you don't know the outcome. And that's why I always tell everybody, always, even my own kids, to follow your gut. Your gut's not going to do something. If you listen to your gut correctly, it's not going to tell you to do something stupid to where you could get hurt. That's that little part of the brain, you know, back in the old cartoons where you see the angel on one side and the devil on the other. I always say the angel is your stomach and your gut, your intuition. The devil is your brain. I say that because you know in your heart what's right, what's wrong, and what to do. But your brain's always questioning it because it's not sure of what's going on and what the results are going to be.
Mary, it's funny you just say that because sometimes I refer to my stomach. My little story says, God says, I got to leave you now. I got to go on and be with my Father, but I'm not really, really, really ever going to leave you. I will never leave you or forsake you. But if you want me to hang out with you, Diana, then I'm going to take up permanent residence in your heart. And what happens in the process is your stomach is a Siamese twin and next door neighbor to your heart. Your heart will send you some information, and it'll share it with your stomach, Derek. That's why sometimes we keep saying it's a gut feeling. Keep in mind, Mary just shared with us this. Your brain is a navigator to keep you safe, but your heart will explore areas it has never been before. It has enough power to make its own decision, and so does your stomach. Sometimes you won't even know why your stomach made the decision for you, but it has enough power to do just that. How did you know? I don't know, man. I just had a gut feeling. The gut feeling came from the heart right next to it. Your heart kind of agreed with what you was going to do, but your stomach got queasy, and even though you was a little fearful, not like your mind, you decide, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. They told me the water was cold. I stuck my toe in there. It felt like it was cold, but a gut feeling told me, dive in anyway, head first.
Trusting faith, on the other hand, is another way of stepping into uncertainty or not knowing for sure. It helps you step into life and live life. It helps you go through love. You know, it may work out, it may not work out. But having that faith and trying helps you continue that path. When we ultimately have faith, it gives us the courage to do things that we wouldn't do necessarily. We're not sitting there thinking about all the things that could happen or go wrong. Worrying about, can I handle this job? Can I do this? Can I do that? Having that faith means, all right, we're going to try and do it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to give it a shot. It gives you the strength to let go of that fear and uncertainty and take that step forward. You know, my first deployment, my sergeant sat us all down. Well, we're all sitting, we're in a plane as it's landing. And he sits and talks to us. Excuse me. And gave us a talking to and told us flat out, this is where faith comes in at. you're not guaranteed you're going to come back on this plane. It's breathing. Letting go, having that faith to do what you're taught to do, you're trained to do, to act and do what you need to do, will, one, give you a better chance of staying alive, but two, it'll give you the faith to not worry about dying. Accepting that it's a possibility will give you the courage to fight and do what you need to do to survive.
Mary, while you're saying that, my faith always says, if I have to go to battle, that I'm going to take the serenity prayer with me, which is grant me enough courage to conquer and change those things that I can change, but enough wisdom to accept those things that I cannot change. But regardless on what I can change and cannot change, my faith will keep me safe, and, you know, like I'm in a bunker. It will protect me, it will guide me. Rick used to say his faith is like a Holy Ghost bubble, that regardless on where he's at, even if he's residing in enemy territory, that faith and believing that God will never leave you and he will never forsake you, that whatever happens in the midst of the battle, you're looking at the battle. You're not battling for victory. You're battling from victory. You're actually seeing the battle always won, already won. If the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. But if the other way you look at it, then you can. You will go into battle being fearful because now you're taking that. You're the one that's supposed to be fighting versus the Savior, the Almighty King, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords that you say you serve. But when you go into war, just like Mary says, you're not going with a fearful mind of dying. You're going into battle because you know that God, your Holy Ghost bubble around you that will protect you. And if it's time, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. If there is a time to die, we already know that before going into the battle that men will drop you in a minute and God will hold you up forever.
You know, you could take this also into your personal life, non-combat. I have learned, thanks through life, but also, you know, had that, I've been blessed to have people like Country Boy and Derek help, you know, guide me a little bit. When people knock you down or question and try to prevent you from moving in life, that is a battle. That is a war. Because they're scared that you're going to take those steps without them, that you're not going to need them. And on, as parents, as your kids are growing up, you go through that same battle. We unconsciously a lot of times hold our kids back because we're afraid of them making the mistakes, them getting hurt, something not needing us anymore as they grow older and independent. And we want to hold them, the more they spread their wings, you tend to want to hold them tighter and closer and suffocate them. Not literally, but you all understand. And we just have to, and it's hard, trust me, I have two that have made so much progress to where, you know, they're growing up and want that independence. It's hard to let them go and let them spread. And that even happens with coaches and mentors where you find, even with friends, you know, you start branching out, meeting new friends, meeting new people, working with them and hanging out with them more, your other friends tend to get a little jealous because you're not with them as much. And you have to learn to be able to relax and just have faith that it all works out in the end. And letting your kids make mistakes no matter what is a part of life. You know, letting them make the dumb mistakes when they're young so they don't do it when they're older. Letting them live their life a little bit more when they have that safety at home as opposed to waiting till they're free. You know, I saw a lot of kids when they got into the military going through boot camp. When you're in boot camp, you are in lockdown. You are, every aspect of your life is controlled for 9 weeks. When you eat, when you sleep, when you poop, when you drink, well, everything you do is controlled. And so into the last day of boot camp, you're getting ready to graduate is your first day of freedom. You get to eat junk food. You get to do just about anything as long as on a on the military base that you want. First thing most kids do is they go to Burger King or Pizza Hut or go to fast food, and they eat all that garbage because they can't. Graduation day, the next day, they are all sicker than hell. They're sitting there throwing up because their bodies weren't used to all that crap.
But Mary, at the same time, when you're saying you're in boot camp, isolation, they don't want you to think about what you wear, where you're going to sleep. But see, what they want you to do is they want to turn your brain power down. They want to turn your brain power down. Go ahead, Eric. So once you get through with camp, then you're in a state of mind to where they can actually control you and get you to do things, but they had to condition your mind and get you to where you wasn't trying to figure out things and get used to operating under the spirit of doing what you hear. And that's one of the things that Mary and I are talking about, too, when it comes to being able to be who we are and being able to be in self-control, that a lot of the times we get bullied, it's because we're not in a position to control our own thoughts. We're more apt to listen to what other people have to say about us versus what we're saying to ourselves. And that's what my daily thought is every day now, is what are you saying to you about you? Because regardless on what you're saying to you about yourself, you're telling the truth. If you tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you're telling the truth. But if you accidentally, even in a murmur or whisper, say, I can't do that, you're still telling the truth. So be careful about your self-conversation on what you're telling yourself you can do, because you are uniquely designed and crafted in God's own image, and he will allow you to do all things through him who give you the strength that you don't already have. Because regardless of where you are, where you're weak, the divine creator says, that's where I'm strong. That's where I can come into your life and kick in the turbo boosters.
So we're going to get a little scientific here. The deep neurological basis for intuition or your stomach or your second brain or your gut is for a reason. In your digestive tract, in your gut, there are a network of over 100 million neurons. There are actually more neurons in your gut than there are in your spinal cord and in your brain. You know, we used to talk about serotonin levels and stuff like that with depression, and you take antidepressants that affect your brain. And one of the reasons why a lot of them don't work is because most of it's all in your gut, which is why it's such a big emphasis on gut health. And what I always find cool about that is that when you go back and learn about the ancient Egyptians, which we all study in school when we're little, they revered the heart and the stomach as the powerhouse of the body. And ironically, the brain, they throw out to the birds. So they knew more back then than we do now, really. They knew how important that stomach and that heart were.
Even with us, Mary, growing up, with you being a female and me being a man, they said, told Diana that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So yeah. They thought you had an extra edge if you just happened to be one of those people that knew how to prepare something that tastes better than a TV dinner. You get to his stomach, you get to his heart, you're feeding some good food, you got his attention. That had nothing to do with his head. That had all to do with the heart and stomach, because I shared earlier that your heart is Siamese twins, right next door neighbors with your stomach. So whatever your heart says, your stomach will get wind of it right away. And if you want to know if it's a godly thought, it came from your heart and entered into your stomach. Now your stomach has the power to make a decision without consulting with that carnal brain of yours. And Mary said earlier, too, it will hardly ever, ever, ever steer you wrong, Derek, when you're making a gut decision, because it's connected to the heart and it won't bypass. It bypasses the brain so that whatever you're deciding to do, you know, it's a spiritual conscious thing that you're doing, not a fleshly thing.
See, individuals who have a highly sensitive intuition have stronger gut feelings than most, but they've also been the ones that are discouraged from using it. The traits of highly sensitivity is all about how deeply you feel something, how things affect you a little bit more than others. You feel the area around you. You feel that environment. You are affected by things going on around you. Here's the cool part about all that. People like that, and Derek, you're one of these people. You're people who are, they're discouraged from using their gut feelings. They're taught, and a lot of autistic kids are taught this way, is to take those feelings and bury them. You're basically telling them to shut it down. But here's the cool part, and my daughter's like this too. You have a higher developed sense of intuition, and you're processing things faster and better than most people. As you're absorbing everything around you, you're adding that information faster than everybody else. But the biggest problem is that you have been taught to devalue that gut. You're taught to use logic only. You're taught to ignore that gut feeling and question it all the time. Here's the best part of all that. It's like a muscle. You can go back and learn and strengthen it again by using it. A lot of people, you know, my daughter was one of these, and I told the coach where to go that we were working with. They tend to tell you that that gut feeling is fear. You're taught to ignore it. And how you can tell the difference between a gut feeling and fear is that when that gut feeling happens and you have that sense of peace, when you decide to go that way, that's all it is. When you start questioning it after the fact and you get that panic, that's the fear. That you're questioning the fear, the feelings that you'd made the wrong decision. And when you got to take that fear and go, you know what, my faith tells me that's okay. Another way to tell between fear and intuition or faith is asking yourself, all right, you have this decision to make. Does it benefit me? Does it make me happier? Does it make it something better?
So Mary, that's a good point too, because as we, even before we reach a spiritual plateau or we start to grow our faith, that's where the brain can kind of help you discern a few things. You know the difference between something hot and cold. If you touch it and it's going to burn you, your brain says, be safe, be safe, be safe. Don't do that. If it's too cold outside, your brain will say, you need to go back in the house and put on a jacket. So before your brain is fully activated in all these areas, again, your heart will always speak to you first before your brain ever has the chance to wake up and get its two cents worth in. But that's the spirit guiding you. But keep in mind, when you're spiritually guided, you're dealing with looking for things that has not happened yet versus what your reality is. So if you focus too much on what is versus what you are praying and hoping and having enough faith to be, then you'll get paralyzed in your own steps. You'll be fearful and not move. You'll be fearful and not go anywhere. You'll be fearful and not grow. And if what happens in the process, if fear gets you to that point, then you're going to be paralyzed and you won't be able to move. So right now, what we have to do is stay prayerful in the faith power, because the faith power will take you places that your flesh will never be able to get you. I used to always say when I was a kid, they said, well, country boy, where are you going today? And I said, well, I'm going to run around the world. They said, why are you going to do that? I'm going to be flashed. I'm going to run around the world in my brain, in my heart, in my spirit, I would tell people, that my flesh is too heavy to go. So when we start looking at things from a faith side or faith perspective, your spirit can take you places that your flesh is too heavy to go. So when you're looking there into the future and you already see it in your mind's eye that you're going to take your passion this year, help a lot more people, and watch this, and get compensated and get paid for doing it. That's a thought that you're already having inside of your spirit. Now, if you kick enough faith in there with it, then you'll see that seeing is not believing. I had to see it in my mind's eye and accept it in my heart before it actually comes to pass in the flesh.
The best way to practice this and get stronger at making these decisions and not questioning everything and trying to discern what is instinct, what's your gut feeling, what's fear, is the snap test. You have to make a decision. Write it down and write yes or no. Don't think about it. The first thought came to mind, yes or no. Is it going to benefit me? Yes. Is this something I want to do? Yes. When you start questioning it and you start analyzing it, that is where the fear comes in. And this is where you always go with your first instinct, the first thought. You know, when you go to therapy and they talk about, you go through these questions and you just start firing questions. You get the first answer that comes to your mind. That's the same thing. That is helping you learn to think from your gut and not think through fear.
Mary, when
yes,
you
sir?
Said that just now, I had a flashback from my granddaddy. My granddaddy says when you're analyzing these things, first thing you do is ask yourself, do I like this? Do I like this and or love this? Those were the first two criterias that my granddaddy says that we needed to start with. Do I like it and do I love it? And then the third criteria that came up with was, is it going to help other people or is it going to hurt other people? Then you know whether you're on the right track. If you like it and you love it, is it going to help other people or is it going to hurt other people? That will alone allow you to discern on whether you should do it or not. If you like it, love it, and if it's going to help somebody else.
True. But this is where your values come in at, because your gut instinct will not. If you have strong values and faith, your gut instinct will not want you to do something automatically that will be something you don't want to do or you don't like it, and will not do something that will hurt somebody else. That is the fear part of your mind, and that's your mind as questioning that and pushing you not to do something. Which is why we use the snap judgment first, to, because your body will automatically know right from wrong. You're taught right from wrong from a very young age. Or you should be. Mr. Ron Clayton's calling me. He seems to forget about Monday's morning show.
Well, I'm going to be right here, you guys. I got to get my boots on. I got to meet my son at 10 o'clock, so I might have to roll out again shortly.
We're almost out of time for today. So on Wednesday, we're going to continue this and talk about snap judgments. We're going to talk about how to discern between fear and faith. But join us at noon today, and on Wednesday at noon Eastern time, because we're going to talk about a man that every nation around the world has acknowledged that he lived. He is one of the first original hometown heroes that from a very young age lived his life to help everybody else. And with Easter coming around the corner, good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning. How are you, Miss Board Member?
Good.
Yeah, I'm funny.
Oh, my goodness, country boy. This Monday morning, it's 9 o'clock. A Monday morning, I didn't think the clock, you know, like usually the alarm goes off or the rooster goes off about this time. And I know for a fact normally to have country boy on the phone this early, he's still yawning and trying to get his first cup of coffee in. Good morning, CB.
Couldn't be so far away from the truth. I don't drink coffee, and I serve the Father of Time. So if I tell him I need to be up at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m., guess what? He'll make provision for me to be there because I serve a Father that will never fail me.
Well, that I know is true.
I just said that. I just wanted to see if you – does that sound like my brain is asleep?
No, it didn't. You were very quick. You were quick in the draw.
I'm just that was just a test, President.
Hey,
I was talking about you yesterday. I was talking about you yesterday, and I was explaining to people how wonderful you are and how such a people person you are. And then all of a sudden, they got the wrong idea about you, Ron. You know why? I told him he had all these AIDS. You said, what? Your president's got AIDS? I said, no, he's got people that aid him in the situations that he don't have time to do. They thought I said you had AIDS. And all I was talking about is you got some people that aid you in areas and help you in areas that you don't have time to do, like me and Mary. So don't believe everything you hear. I did not say you had AIDS.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I am so fortunate and blessed because, you know, just for example, last week I was going from one room to the other, one food room, the dining room, to the other food room, the kitchen, which you'll find me at normally a lot. And my feet went out from under me, and next thing I know, my neighbor's banging on the door asking if I'm okay, because I hit the ground real hard. And she was there to pick me up and then dust me off and said, "You're going to bed, and we need to call the doctor," was the next question. But you know what you said, there's people looking out for us all the time, and if so, I need that. But you know what? We've come to depend on people, and we've become dependent on the Holy Spirit that really protects us. You know, I think, man, we were blessed that during the COVID whatever period, you know, we had people dying all around us. We had people getting sick all around us, but we didn't. And I can't tell you that I was dogmatic about it. I wasn't going to put a mask on unless I was in a real big room full of people and something like that. That just makes sense at that time. But for the most part, if I'm driving out in the car, I'm not wearing a damn mask. Excuse my language. But I'm sorry, no government's going to tell me how I'm going to live and breathe and live. But I live in a world, and I really feel this. My life is sold out to serving the Lord. Now, we can talk like this because one of the precepts of the Hope Collection and the basis and foundation of it is the pillar of faith. And so anybody that might be listening in on even on this show this morning, and we have some special shows besides our normal daily lunch, you know, Hope for Lunch. But Mary and Country Boy have been putting on special programs. And maybe you've already explained this already, Mary, that we're going to choose to feature our Lord this week. And we're going to do it from, I believe Mary said, from different perspectives. And I'm really glad to hear that because some people really have a whole lot of knowledge, really deep in understanding. They've been studying the Word. That's how we learn for forever. So I wasn't indoctrinated, or I wasn't deeply in growing up, but the Bible was in our home. We read it on occasion. We studied it on occasion. You know, Sunday when you go, and we went more than Good Friday and Easter Day and Christmas. We went to normal. So I went to Sunday school and stuff like that. It had an influence in my life. I would say, if I was outside of that realm, I probably would have been messed up worse than we were. Our family wasn't perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect family. But we didn't have the kind of strife and stress and you know, the destruction that's going on in families today. And I truly believe it's because at least the influence of faith was in our house. And, you know, you have to, and then Mary, I don't want to take the show over. I'm not trying to, but I just want to say this was, we grew up with the influence. So when I was introduced to the actual person of Christ, not just the man, but the person, the Holy Spirit, wow. We knew it was a time in our life to make decisions, and we're glad we did. So I'm going to pass it back to you guys, let you know that on a perfect day where we live in Buffalo on January 21st, 1977, we had a famous blizzard of 77. But it was like much like the one we had this year. But it shut the dam down because of the snow and the height of it coming off the lake.
Where's Buffalo
for 10 days. Niagara Falls.
I found somebody else to help us update our website.
Yeah. Well, that's good, Jerick. Well, we were down at a ski resort in Hoste, Pennsylvania, and Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Hoste Farms. And we were at a service where we were invited to get to know and introduce ourselves and meet with the Lord in a person, and it changed their life dynamically. And a couple, we said a simple prayer that allowed us to know that we have peace in our heart for life. And so I hope that everybody somewhere along the lines can come to that same conclusion, and we are not ashamed about sharing that. Nobody ever has to on the show. So I'm going to pass it back to you guys. I know you got a show planned, and I just hope it's a great day for you.
Always
Country
a great
Boy,
day, Ron.
Glad to hear you up and at him, sir.
You know, Ron, before you leave, one of our callers, a friend of Country Boy, she's a regular on our morning shows and starting to come a regular on our day shows. She said something phenomenal, and I love it. I told her I was going to steal it and use it. Faith is a lifestyle. You use your faith to function through life every day.
Yeah, I concur with that. I don't know how you can live without it. That's, you know, I'll just very simply say this. I've been close to walking home with the Lord. I had a major stroke, and I was unconscious. I could hear, but I was unconscious for 3 weeks. That was 4 years ago. Obviously, I'm not unconscious anymore. I'm very conscious. I've been blessed to get an extension in my life to serve him. We went through a car accident that Lynn and I shouldn't be here. By any stretch of imagination, she's beat cancer 3 times. They've had to take, she lost weight, but she lost it through surgeries. And not something she volunteered for, but it was to keep her alive. So we've walked the walk of knowing that how precious and close life can be. I couldn't imagine trying to get through that without having the faith in our life that we have. I just can't imagine a life without that.
So, thank you so much. We are almost out of time today. So join us this afternoon.
Oh, my goodness. I'm that late today?
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Linda's in. Well, we'll talk to you guys later, and thank you.
Hey, Country Boy.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
All right. Mary, can I call you back?
Of course. So, our noon show, we are going to talk about Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the man, the child, the human, and what he did to make the world a better place.
Amen.
And then on Wednesday, on the noon show, we're going to go after the fact and how he's made his life ended, but yet it didn't. And we're going to talk about how, to this day, what he does and who he was is still talked about today and how it shapes our lives and what we do every day and how we live and do for others thousands of years after the fact. So join us today at noon when we talk about the man behind the legend. Bye for now.